Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Yeah, we representing WATACP. Yeah. Check it out, y'all. Yo, back when I was younger, for knowledge I thirsted and hunger, would suck it up like a plunger, but yet and still I would wonder, when people holler in their minds, are they thinking dollars is like rocking a sore throat, kid, hard to swallow as a brain power weak and mind decreased, I'm thinking on shrill chatter, president's deceased, but somehow we need to move just a little higher, looking at our desires and somehow get inspired, and the reason that I'm even here today is cause I had a couple things I wanted to say, like for real, if you wanna open your mind, and be free, listen to WATAZP with my man Taz and DJ Stroke, cracking a couple of jokes and rocking mad music, poking fun in all the people that they wanna, because you know that we are really gonna have fun, couple of laughs, some good times, the way that I come through and drop rhymes, people be looking at me cause I don't smoke lines, I don't short lines, I keep it true, I'm about to do this in a freestyle type of mode, but yeah, and still I don't rock platinum or gold, I just got a nice watch and a wristband, and that's all I really need, man, is little love, know what I'm saying, spread the love, spread the love, know what I'm saying, yeah, spread the love, yeah, all up in the place to be, WATAZP, y'all.
ATAZP recorded live, but this is so live. This is Night Court. I have a special guest. He's in my house in his private room on the other side of the East Wing. Jay Bugs, the one who did that intro right there. Jay Bugs.
What's going on?
What's up, man?
Nothing. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good. It's good having you here too. I see on the line. We only got one person on the line, and I'm gonna have to bump her on in. I think it's Tressa, if I'm not mistaken. 706 area code 706. Is this Tressa?
Yes, it is.
Well, guess what? You are on the show because we're doing Night Court. Night Court is a show that I pull out current events, topics, and we give a verdict on it whether we agree with it or not. And the very first topic that I'm going to talk about is Herman Cain. I gotta talk about Herman Cain. This was one of the first topics before the other one jumped off earlier, a couple of days ago, matter of fact. So I got a comment that he made while he was on a debate a couple of days ago. This is Herman Cain right here.
People want jobs, but they also want leadership. They want character in a president. In recent days, we have learned that four different women have accused you of inappropriate behavior. Here we're focusing on character and on judgment. You've been a CEO.
Yes.
You know that shareholders are reluctant to hire a CEO where there are character issues. Why should the American people hire a president if they feel there are character issues?
The American people deserve better than someone being tried in the court of public opinion based on unfounded accusations. That's what that's about. Value my character and my integrity more than anything else. And for every one person that comes forward with a false accusation, there are thousands who would say none of that sort of activity ever came from Herman Cain. You're right. This country is looking for leadership. And this is why a lot of people, despite what has happened over the last 9 days, are still very enthusiastic behind my candidacy. Over the last 9 days, The voters have voted with their dollars, and they'll say they don't care about the character assassination. They care about leadership and getting this economy growing and all of the other problems we face.
That's the first subject we got on the docket today for night court. The docket is always the date, which is 11-10-11. And the docket number is 111011. And this is the first case we're going to try, which is 01, Herman Cain. I'll go to Jay Buzz so he can give his opinion on this so-called scandal.
Man, I don't even know what to say, honestly. I mean, he's handling it like a pro. He's handling it like a champion. And I really believe that their allegations are just frivolous. The things that they're saying and the way that they're approaching it, it just seems like it's not even well rehearsed, but just slightly rehearsed. Like the last lady, she said, like the primary basis of her being upset was because he knew I had a boyfriend. What? So, I mean, if that's the case, then that's not harassment or anything that she's saying. She just wanted him to flirt with her, and she was comfortable being around him. So if she was so comfortable being around him, why is she coming out now saying that he was wrong for whatever he did? They obviously hung out.
Tressa, your view
yes.
on Herman Cain.
Okay. Yeah. Well, honestly, I can't be objective because, for one thing, I am a Democrat. I believe in what Barack Obama is trying to do. I hope he get elected again. I'll do everything I can on my behalf to get him elected again. But as far as this Cain guy, he has said some things that I don't agree with. He mentioned some things about cutting out welfare and different things he would cut back on. I understand that. You can cut down on welfare, but you got to have something for these people to do. You don't just take somebody off welfare and not have a job for them, not have a place for them to stay, not have the proper education they need. Those are things that, you know, that they're going to need to get in a different situation than what they're currently in, you know. And not only that, they're going to need encouragement, you know, from the communities and things, you know.
But what is that particular incident that he's going through, do you think it's right or do you think it's wrong?
Well, with this stuff about these women, I feel that she should have came out with it a long time ago because, if I'm not mistaken, I believe she said something about 20 years ago or something, a long time ago, which I wonder, why did she wait so long? That's what everybody say. Why did she wait so long to come out with it? Then she said because there was no need to come out with it. And if you think about what she's saying, it's kind of true. He wasn't running for president back then. Now he's trying to run for president and show a different light on himself. He may have changed. I don't know. But she only know the experience that she had with him. If her experience was bad and several other women's experience were bad, they're just letting us know what we're getting in for, you know. So it won't be a shock if we have another thing like that, Clarence Johnson or whatever that.
Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas. Yeah, him. So we won't have another one of those situations. She's going ahead and getting on out there. You see what I'm saying? So I agree. If it's something to be said, look at what they did to our current president. They dug so deep, they want this man's birth certificate. Come on now. I mean, they digging for everything they can find. What's wrong with her telling what she knows? There's nothing wrong with that. Let us know who it is that we're voting for. We don't want to vote for a wolf in sheep's clothing. Of course, they're going to come out and show the best that they can be, but nobody want to tell about the skeletons in the closet. Those skeletons in the closet, they can come back to hurt more than just you. They can hurt other people around you. Like the American people. So, yeah, I want to know who it is I'm voting for. Republican, Democrat, whatever. I want to know who it is I'm voting for.
Well, check it. I'm the judge, so I got the last thing in this since there's only three of us. I'm going to tell you, I believe these ladies should have came out with it a long time ago if it was that serious. Being that there should be a statute of limitation against this sort of thing. It should have been like 4 years, and you know, not 20, but not a lifetime. It didn't come out and say something. So I'm going to agree that he shouldn't be going through this. I mean, it's obviously planned by somebody else so he can lose. He forgot who he was. He forgot how dark he looked on TV. This cat should wake up on that. And I think he's being set up for a fall. Okay, we on the next one. This is case number 202. Cleveland poll monitor working for the Board of Elections assaulted a voter at a polling place in Cleveland at midday Tuesday, sending the voter to the hospital. When the dispute at the Gloria del Evangelistic Lutheran Church on Memphis Avenue seemed to be settled, the rover, James Williams of Cleveland, walked away. You see, he's supposed to be 100 feet away from the polling place. He was a campaign worker for one of the people they were voting for. So as he walked away, another voter in line said, "You don't have to be such an ass." And then Williams overheard him, came back, and attacked him. He knocked him down, headbutted him, and then he bit his nose. And guy said he tried to bite it off, and that's when he was sent to the hospital. My question for the panel is, was the poll worker, the campaign worker who was too close to the voting line, was he out of line by crossing the line and biting this dude's nose, or was the other guy out of line for calling him an ass? Again, I'm going to start with J-Bug.
Man, there's no excuse for biting somebody's nose. I mean, sticks and stones may break my bones and might bite my nose off. I mean, seriously, it's a name. He just got called a name. Who cares? There's no excuse for that. No, he was not right. Let me see him out somewhere.
Tressa?
I don't condone any type of violence, no matter what the situation.
Okay, we all in agreement on this. Then campaign worker, he was wrong. Definitely wrong.
Heck yeah.
And this happened in Cleveland, our home state.
I know the church.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it went down. Here's case number three. A national animal rights group, PETA, offered Hamburg, New York officials $15,000 to change the town's name to Veggieburg. And they said our offer is serious as a heart attack. Now, the people that live in Hamburg, New York, with all due respect, I think it's a delicacy in our community. We're proud of our name and proud of our heritage. The Buffalo suburb named Hamburg since 1812 claims to be the birthplace of the American culinary staple. Hamburg commemorates the birth of hamburgers at the annual Burger Fest. My question to the panel, should they take the money and change the name, or should they just keep the name they have since 1812 of Hamburg? I'm going to start with Trevor.
I feel if you have pride in who you are and what you stand for, no amount of money could you know, buy that. So they should keep the name.
Okay. J-Bud.
Man, I totally agree. I mean, man, PETA crazy. PETA's on crack.
In the vegetables.
In the vegetables.
So keep the name, and I wholeheartedly agree. What $15,000 just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be honest with you. If they offered them $2 million, I would have been on their side. Yeah, we'll change.
Yeah, but, I mean, let's be real. You said this was in New York.
Yeah, Hamburg, New York.
$15,000 in New York is three number six is at McDonald's. So that's nothing.
Okay, I agree. Do not change your name. Keep your name. Case number three, Granny Fanny sues bank for $1 million. This is a black lady now. She launched a lawsuit against a local bank after staff refused to believe that her name was Fanny Batter. Fanny, 59, was attempting to open an account at a branch of Third Agricultural Bank in Miami, Florida. But despite showing staff several forms of ID, including Social Security card, passport, the staff would not believe that was her real name. Fanny, a retired shop assistant, said, "I was made to feel about 1 inch tall. They were talking to me first as though I was some sort of joke and later thought I was a criminal." Miss Banter is asking for $1 million in punitive damages and a full apology from the bank. Of course, the question I'm asking is, should Fanny be getting that much money just because they didn't give her? I mean, she could have
been. What was her name?
Fanny Batter. Fanny Bater. B-A-T-T-E-R.
Okay,
so J-Bug, Fanny Bater. That was a real name. She showed them all the ID. Should she get $1 million?
Oh, man, that's, I don't know. Because, I mean, I can understand they're trying to protect the integrity of their bank, you know, and people come in and they do all kinds of fraudulent activities and things like that. And, I mean, that's to the bank's defense. But to her defense, since that is her real name and who she really is, I'm sure she did feel humiliated. And in this day and age, everybody sues for everything. Get that lady $1 million.
Trust her. Should Fanny Bater get $1 million?
Yep.
Wow. No thinking about it, huh? No long speech about it, no. Just give
no
it to
speech.
Her.
She should get it.
Okay. Well, the court has ruled she should get her money. And I thought it was crazy when I read it, but I'm tripping. This is case number four. A wife worse than prison. An Italian prisoner who was given home leave for good behavior asked to go back to his cell after spending less than a day with his wife. The 40-year-old was given a 72-hour pass by the governor near his town in Pavia, Italy. So within minutes of meeting his wife, they had an argument, and he called the prison and asked him to be taken back inside. A spokesman at the jail said, "We got a call from him saying he could no longer stand being with his wife, and it wasn't possible to go back to his cell. He said he didn't want to spend another minute with her." It was a very unusual request. We normally get inmates asking when they can leave and not when they can come back in. He was told it was not a problem. All he had to do was come back, and he would go straight to his cell. And within an hour, he was at the prison gate. My question is, should they have taken him back? I mean, he was out. He should have been allowed to go right back. Again, I'll start this time with Tressa.
I couldn't barely hear you. You know, we're traveling, and you were breaking up a lot, so let him answer. I can barely hear you.
I mean, that's just a bizarre story. If his wife is that bad, you know, maybe he was gonna try to hurt her, and you know, that would result in him getting more time in jail. So yeah, taking him back in was probably the best move.
Okay, Tressa, can you hear me now?
Okay, I can hear you now. So what happened now?
What happened was the guy got a prison pass to go home.
Okay.
And he was getting out on good behavior. He got with
okay.
his wife, started arguing, and started arguing, and he got mad, and he called the prison back and asked could he come back to the prison because he couldn't
okay.
take it back at home. And they said, yes, you could come back and go to your same cell. And within an hour, he was back at the prison to go back to his same cell. My question was, should the prison let him come back?
Absolutely, because he did the right thing. He's taking himself. That showed that he learned something. Who knows what he was in jail for, but he learned something. He learned to take himself out of a hostile situation before he do something else. So he did the right thing. I think any man should do that. Whether you're going to prison or going to your mama house, go somewhere, get away from that crazy woman. You know, don't let her have you sitting up in jail the rest of your life. Because believe me, as a black woman, we'll do that.
Well, to be honest with you, I believe a black woman, if she was acting a fool, she should want to go back to jail too. what's fair is fair. She said a black man, like only black men go to jail. You know what I'm saying? I felt very bad for our kind, my gender. I was gender
see, as a black woman, we know that 9 times out of 10, they're going to take the man to jail in a hostile situation. They're going to look at the woman as a defenseless little woman. When I know some women that whoop their husbands behind, but then he'll end up going to jail. Now, he might be happy to go to jail so he don't have to keep taking that butt whooping from his wife. But still, usually the man goes to jail, which I don't think that's fair, but he took himself out of the situation instead of wringing her neck. So he did the right thing for himself.
I agree. I had a different theory on it because I was like, well, they can really spend some more money on you, get some more meals. But, after you said he could have went to jail again when he didn't want to for wringing that woman's neck, yeah, he did the best thing. Take myself out of this bad situation. I had it better in jail, playing cards, watching TV, breaking bricks and making license plates. You know what I'm saying? Even though it sounds insane. But it was the right thing to do. That was case number 4. Case number 5. Coke worker fired for drinking Pepsi. This is basically...
Guilty.
A U.S. Coca-Cola truck driver has been sacked after being spotted guzzling down a soft drink made by rival Pepsi. Coke is really grasping at straws on this one, said Jim DeAngelo, principal officer of the Teamsters, which the driver is a member of. This is nothing more than an attempt to get rid of a pro-union employee. The Teamsters claimed that Coke really sacked the worker because of his work 3 months ago in organizing merchandising workers under the powerful union's allies. So basically he was a pro-union worker, and Coke is really trying to find any way to get him out. And he was drinking Pepsi while driving a Coke truck. J-Bug?
Wow. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. Honestly, if he spent $1.09 to get a bottle of Pepsi, so what, man? I mean, that should not have happened. For real. No, people at GM drive other cars.
You're right about that. Yeah, that was a good point. Good point taken. Tressa, why you were yelling guilty. Why should he be guilty, or do you change your mind on this?
Well, one thing, I just left a Coca-Cola plant, okay? I feel that you should take pride in what it is that you're doing. And I don't know the circumstances of where he's signing his contract, you know, to get hired on. Some of them tell you that you're not allowed to have the competition's product, services, or anything, you know, on their premises. And if you're driving a truck or something delivering, you're still using their vehicle, so that's on their premises. That may be part of the rule. You're not allowed to bring paraphernalia or whatever from a competition onto our premises. Now, if you want to stand out in the street and say, go Pepsi, okay, whatever, but don't do it on the lot. If he's driving a truck, he's still on their property. That does not look right for a company like morale or anything. Like, who are you representing? That does not look right at all, you know. If I owned the company, I wouldn't want to see one of my employees riding around in one of my vehicles with my competition, you know, stuff turned up to their mouth. No, I would have fired them on the spot. And, you know, I would put that in my policy if I knew I had competition like that, that if you're representing me when you're out there in uniform and you're delivering, you're representing me and the company. Don't have the competition stuff around. Put a paper sack over it and drink it. You know, do something. Put it in a cup with some ice and drink it. Put it in a one of those, you know, those little juice bottle things or something and drink it. He didn't have to have it in a can and drinking it. I mean, how dumb can you be? Think about it. How dumb can you be?
My personal assistant, who's out of country right now, she texted me. She said, for the wife thing, that's a shame. Can't stay with his own wife. And she started laughing. Then she said about the Pepsi drinker, the Pepsi drinker, he is dumb. Then she wrote, Pepsi is better anyway, but I wouldn't drink it.
I mean, it's ways of doing things.
Word.
It's ways of doing things. You don't have to, you know, he could have put it in a cup or something and drink it.
Yeah, he could have.
I agree. I changed my opinion now just after hearing her sermon. Because she preached.
she did get down.
She did.
This is strange but true. There's no opinion right or wrong on this. It's just something just to see if you knew it or not. A single share of Coca-Cola stock purchased in 1919, when the company went public, would have been worth $92,500 in 1997.
Wow.
Americans consume 42 tons of aspirin per day. Americans spend more than $5 billion a year on cosmetics, toiletries, beauty parlors, and barbershops. Bayer was advertising cough medicine containing heroin in 1898. Carbonated soda water was invented in 1767 by Joseph Priestley, the discoverer of oxygen. Cheerios cereal was originally called Cheerios, and I remember that. I was young enough to remember that. Chewing gum was patented in 1869 by William Semple. Coca-Cola was so named back then in 1885 for its two medical ingredients, extract of cocoa leaves and cola nuts, and as how much cocaine was originally in the formula is hard to know. There was cocaine in it, y'all.
But go ahead.
That's probably why he was drinking Pepsi. He didn't want to be high on the road. And
but they still use cocaine in their product. They're just not allowed to advertise them anymore.
What? Yes.
Yes.
You didn't know that, J-Bug?
No.
Yes, sir. Hershey Kisses.
I tell you how you will know. You can take two Anacin. Anacin, that's supposed, you know, you got Tylenol and all this other extra stuff. If you notice, if you buy some Anacin, they never say extra strength or anything like that. It just say Anacin. Anacin has like about 400 milligrams of aspirin in it, okay? You can take two Anacin and drink one Coke. You don't even have to drink the whole can of Coke. But drink some Coke behind that Anacin, it will kill any pain you have, even if you don't have surgery. It's stronger than taking any extra strength. This, you can take Vicodin or whatever. Take 2 Anacin and drink a Coke and watch your pain go away. It's still cocaine in it. Because the caffeine makes the aspirin activate quicker. It has Coca-Cola has more caffeine in it than any soda out there on the market. It has more caffeine in it. That makes it work quicker. And then with the cocaine in it, hey, you know what that does.
Cocaine used to be sold to cure sore throats, nervousness, headaches, colds, and sleepiness in the 1880s. For 2 years during the 1970s, Mattel marketed a doll called Growing Up Skipper. Her breasts grew when her arms were turned. Hershey's Kisses are called that because the machine that makes them looks like it's kissing the conveyor belt. These are just a few little strange but true facts that I ran into. We're on to case number 6, sex sales. A German bakery chain is selling round pointed pastries called titties. The shop in Friedberg near Frankfurt, I've been to Friedberg before, has posters of a pinup girl advertising them at 36 marks, I guess, not 36 marks, 36 whatever it is, each. In one day alone, it sold 13,000 titties. But the city's women's representative, Margaret Burned, said a number of women called her to vent their anger and outrage at the offer. They want them to change their names, change the name of the donuts. Junior manager of the store says, titties are here to stay. When we covered up with this pastry and first baked it, one of our female employees suggested the name. My question to the panel, should titty stay? Should that name be given to some donuts? We're going to start with Tressa, because I'm sure she got a lot to say.
Well... actually, I don't have much to say. I say, hey, keep the name. If you can call a drink Sex on the Beach, I mean, hey, keep the name. I mean, if it was some donuts or something, I'd buy it.
Okay, J-Buck. I know he's like, where did you find this at? On the net, my brother, that on the net.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, the name is it's harmless, you know, I mean. Especially because
he said it's harmless.
A female employee named it. I mean, so yeah.
Keep the name. I'm writing it down. Keep the name. Keep the name. Okay, this was number 6. We're on to number 7, which is crazy too. Baby boy named after Saddam. And SARS. A Chinese couple have named their newborn son after both Saddam Hussein and the SARS virus. The couple have named him Saddam Ding SARS, reporting the South China Morning Post. The father of a child called Ding said his son was born on the day that the war in Iraq broke out. And by the time they had brought him home, the SARS virus was on everyone's mind. But it's unsure if officials will allow them to register the name, so they are considering an alternative for the official records. My question to the panel is, should he keep the name and should he be placed on the records? J-Bug.
Oh, I wanted Tressa to go first. No, for real, I did. For real, because I love the way that she explains things. I'm not picking on you, Tressa, I promise. But I think to name your kid after a virus and a corrupt dictator, I mean, I would hope somebody would step in on the kids' behalf. So, I mean, but that is their kid. So I don't think that people should really be able to dictate what you name your child. I hate to say it. Sorry, Sodom. Poor guy. I don't think they should be able to tell the parents what to name their kid.
Tressa.
Well, I think, you know, they should be able to name their children whatever they want. I met a young lady once, and she told me her name was Calamity. My naive mind, not knowing what Calamity means, I was like, wow, that's a beautiful name, Calamity. That's different. I never heard anyone named Calamity before. So everyone in the place turned and looked at me like, am I crazy, right? So she said, I never got that response before when I tell people my name. I said, well, I think it's a beautiful name. And then later she found out I didn't know what it means, right? So when I did find out what it means, naturally, she was expecting me to say something else. I said, well, it's just a beautiful name. Maybe the meaning isn't beautiful, but the name is beautiful because you make the name. You don't have to become what you're called. You can make that name, you know, and she's a beautiful person. So the name fits her, Calamity. She is just, she's a wonderful person, regardless of the meaning. She makes the name. So I can look at Calamity in a different light.
I have been in a few calamities before. And I'm going to tell you right now, no, I don't know about that name. I know somebody with the name Absidy. And the way you spell it is A, B, C, D, E. Absidy.
Wow.
Look, I can see her on her application now writing down A, B, C, D, E, Smith. And then somebody in the application, somebody playing. I'm going to rip this up. Somebody is playing.
Either that or she'll go to Bank of America and not be able to get an account.
There you go.
Exactly.
That's Super Million. Right. Absolutely. Okay, so we come to a, they should keep the name. They should be allowed to have the name.
Yeah. Let him keep the name. You know, if something happened and he don't like it, he can always, you know, blame the parents later on. Let him keep the name.
I'm writing it down. Allowed to keep the name. We are on to, that was number 7, so we're on to number 8. Keep the name. You killed me. Calamity. Sherry said, damn, and she just went LOL. That's what she said. She really, I know what she talked about, all them crazy names, SARS and Saddam. This is Sex in the Church. A New York woman has been sentenced to 5 days of community service for having sex in St. Patrick's Cathedral in response to a radio show stunt. She pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct. She was ordered to perform 7 days of community service. She and her boyfriend were arrested in August after a police officer listening to the OPN Anthony show heard a radio employee say on the air that he was speaking on a cell phone while watching the couple in the cathedral. The radio stunt, part of a regular feature in which couples can do anything to win prizes for having sex in public places, resulted in the firing of the DJ, Greg Opie Hughes, and Anthony Camilla. My question to the panel is, should they got fired for this? They wasn't having sex in the cathedral. It was the people that listened to the show. Should they have gotten fired for this? Oh, and my cousin Destiny is on in the chat room talking about sex in the church. No. That's a NW with a 4 L's. No. So, again, I'm asking the panel, should the people on the radio station be fired? They didn't have sex in the church. I'm going with Tressa since J Bug seems to be lost on his first impressions of the answer. Tressa.
Okay. I don't think that the people on the radio show should have been fired for that. Like you say, they weren't the ones doing it. Now, what I don't agree with is he's going to say that he's on his cell phone while he's watching somebody have sex. I'm like, dang, you know, how many cell phones don't have a camera? You're not going to put that stuff up on YouTube? Let us see. We want to see, too. You know, you're supposed to share what go on in church, you know?
She sure did.
I'm like, that's what, yeah. So he should have been fired for not giving enough information. I want to know who was on top. Was she riding him? Did he have her doggy style? I mean, was they doing 69?
Oh,
what exactly
okay,
was going
Tressa,
on?
I'm giving you a church hug. You're going beyond the question, but okay. I'm giving you a church hug.
But look, look, what's wrong with her saying amen? He might have had her saying amen. So, hey.
Wow.
J-Bug, your turn, sir.
Shaking my head.
Real hard.
Real hard. My contacts came out. I was shaking my head so hard. But I don't know. I mean, the DJ, for him to, like, even provoke people to do things like that, not real cool. However, the radio station knew that he was doing that, and that's how he was obtaining listeners. So how can you really fire the dude for doing what he's been doing unless they had given him some type of warning? So if it doesn't say that he had been warned, I don't think he should have been fired either.
That's right.
Well,
anything, like I say, fired for lack of information. Show me something.
You wasn't informed enough.
She wanted the visual.
And Sherry said you're wrong for saying what you said. Amen in the church. You was wrong. Yes, she was. Okay, number nine. And this involves the coach of Penn State, Joe Paterno, knowing that the assistant coach had sex with a young boy, in the Penn State locker room almost a decade ago, and Joe Paterno did nothing about it. So what is your position on this? I'm going to ask Tressa. I know it's going to be long and drawn, so I'm sitting back. And Destiny talking
okay.
about, oh, my God, not the coach.
Okay, I feel like it is any adult who takes advantage of a child, I mean, they should be prosecuted to the furthest limit. And anybody that know that this is going on and not doing what they should do as a human being, then they deserve to get whatever's coming to them also, because we should protect the children. That's all we have, you know. That's our next generation. If they're not in a good mind, who's going to be our leader later on? Who's going to be our president? What are we expecting to get?
Right.
We're destroying young children. So all of them guilty. Everybody that knew about it, the people that was exactly doing it, that they all deserve whatever they get.
Jay Bunn.
Totally agree. There's no way that should just be passed on. Like, oh, okay, well, he didn't alert the proper authorities, but let's let him keep his job when there's other coaches getting fired for way less. This is a minor. He's a child. He was sodomized. That's ridiculous. Who's going to protect the children?
Correct. Joe Paul goes down.
He probably was going down, too.
Well, he was, like I said, Tressa, you go beyond the question. It wasn't him. It was the assistant coach. Praise God. We're trying to keep this a family show. Sandwich arrest stirs debate over eating in stores. A lady, literally, she was pregnant and was hungry and ate a sandwich in the store before she paid for it. And most people say, I don't walk around the store drinking, but by the time I'm done shopping, I'm thirsty. You know, other people are talking about this. So this is promoting a debate. Should we eat in the store? Should they have food for us to eat like they done cooked on the side? You know, sometimes they cook the little sausages, put a, you know what I'm saying, a little toothpick in it so you can eat it. You know what I'm saying? So they're debating, should we eat in the stores altogether? Get rid of it altogether. And that's my question to the panel. Since this lady got arrested for eating a sandwich because she was pregnant and just couldn't wait till she got out the store, should there be a crackdown on all stores for people eating before they pay for it? And I'm going with Jay Bug. I'm sure you can answer this without Tressa's help.
I like Tressa, but I think that if she had no intent of paying for it, she should be arrested because that's stealing.
She walked out the store and forgot about paying for it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy. She shouldn't have done it then. She shouldn't have eaten if she was going to forget. She knew she was full. She knew she went to the store hungry. She knew there was a change in her demeanor. Baby was in her womb jumping up and down talking about, oh, that sandwich was good, mama. So she knew there was a difference. Yeah, they should arrest her. And that's just to kind of like slap her on the hand, not be rough with her, but just to let her know, look, you ain't going to just be coming up in our store eating in aisle 17 and then walking out for free. That's ridiculous.
Sherry, Miss CJ, she texted me and said, LOL, Tressa is crazy. I like her. And we eat in Costco. Tressa, should they be serving food in there and stop eating altogether in the stores if you're not going to pay for it first?
Okay, so tell me this. Okay, so are you saying that the woman ate something and then
she had a sandwich
forgot to pay for it and walked out the store?
There you go.
I don't see how you're going to forget you just got full. So she probably had no intentions on paying for that, and she deserved to, you know, get arrested, get a little fine, so she won't do it again because, you know, people eat more than once a day, and she could be walking around from store to store getting full, you know. So even though she's pregnant, that's not fair. You might be eating for two, but, you know, you're not trying to create a little thief jumping around in your belly. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I think that's wrong. I do see people sometimes, like I go down to Miami a lot, and there's this place called a 99-cent store. They have food and everything in there. And these people would go up to the fruit and be picking grapes and eating them. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm seeing if it's sweet. You know, they eat one, two, see if it's sweet. I'm like, okay. Then they may get it and go ahead and purchase it. But I'm not going to be eating some nasty food like that. It's an unwashed, unclean. I don't know. But I think anybody who's going to get something, you know, at least pay for it. I have seen people who would open a soda and drink almost all of it and then go up to the cash register and they pay for it. I think that's okay because there are some people who are diabetic and they need that sugar, and the lines are long in Walmart and they need what they need before they pass out. The point being, my mother, we went to Walmart, she had her sugar got too low. I got her a drink. She was standing up there, and, you know, her sugar was too low, and I was like, go ahead and drink it. She's like, no, I don't want to drink it before I pay for it, and she passed out. I wish she had taken that drink, and she wouldn't have had to leave there in an ambulance, okay?
Yeah. So you're saying that by her walking out and not paying for it, she got to go down. She got to be arrested.
Yeah, but she didn't have no intention on paying for it.
Okay, the last case that I got, and it's kind of crazy. Black man, his name is, let me see, he's in Las Vegas. His name is Wesley Warren Jr. Isn't trying to maintain life with a big penis. His problem is he has overinflated scrotum, which makes his sack a little literally a sack. He's carrying a small bowling ball everywhere he goes. They said it's an actual problem when you get infected from a tropical insect, but he never left the country. What he did, he accidentally hit his testicles on waking up one morning, and they swelled to the size of a soccer ball the next day. And since then, it's been growing and growing. My question to the panel is, because it's going to take $1 million operation to fix it, should they just fix it without him owing this money? I mean, the man, there's a picture of him in some sweats, and his thing is hanging dang near to the ground. Should this man who has been suffering, and maybe I have compassion because I am a man. That might be part of my problem. That's why I sound so adamant about getting this dude a free operation on the house. Because this ain't no common, like, you know, everybody just don't bump their thing and they grow about 20 feet. You know what I'm saying? So, no. Come on. I'm going to ask the panel. I'm going to go with the woman first. Because we all want to hear what she got to say about the dude carrying a sack, and a little, literally a sack in his pants. This is in Las Vegas.
Now tell me this. Did you say he has a penis that just keeps growing and growing and growing, or is it his scrotum keep getting larger and larger? Which is it?
Scrotum. His testicles kept getting larger and
larger. Oh, okay. Well, he could have a tumor. I think they should do it. There are doctors that will do charity work. They do it all the time. Tax write-off.
It shouldn't cost them no $1 million.
It could, because that can be a very dangerous procedure. They don't want to, like, stop him from having children or something, you know. So it could cost that much.
But I don't think he should be. The question I pose, he should get a free operation on the house.
Yes. Yes, I think he should. Because, like I say, there are doctors who do charity work, and it's a tax write-off. Yes. If he get in contact with the right people, he can get a free operation.
Jay Bud, totally agree. That's an easy one. I mean, I'm a man, too, for real. And, I mean, yeah, they can do it pro bono. And just like Tressa said, it would be a tax write-off. This dude would be back to comforted, because he's got to be just in ridiculous pain.
And you can't be, you said pro bono?
Pro bono.
Pro bono. My bad.
Pro bono.
He should have a free, should be on the house.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Yes.
What if it was the opposite, though, you know, but he has, like, a penis that kept growing and growing and growing and wouldn't stop?
Still should be on the house.
Yeah, because there's a lot of men can use a few inches, you know. I mean, I believe there's a lot of people that would donate to get him that shirt just so they can get those extra inches he got, you know.
You once again, you have rode off the rocky road.
Well, I can't help it. I like me some good dick. I can't help it.
Anyway, and she meant Richard. Sherry Jackson. She tweeted, "Try to carry a baby, dude." But that's exactly what he's carrying right now, unfortunately. These are some weird history facts. Next time you're washing your hands and the water temperature isn't just how you like it, think about how things used to be. Here are some facts about the 1500s. Most people got married in June because they took their yearly bath. Let me say it again. They took their yearly bath in May and still smelled pretty good by June. However, they were starting to smell, so brides carried a bouquet of flowers to hide the odor. That's where the bouquet of flowers come from. Baths considered of a big tub full with hot water, the man of the house had the privilege of the nice clean water. Then all the other sons and men, then the women, and finally the children, and last of all, the babies. By then, the water was so dirty, you could actually lose someone in it. Hence the saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Houses had thatched roofs, thick straw, piled high with no wood underneath. It was the only place for animals to get warm, so all the dogs, cats, and other small animals, mice, bugs, lived in the roof. When it rained, it became slippery, and sometimes the animals would slip and fall off the roof. Hence the saying, it's raining cats and dogs. Just giving you some facts here. There was nothing to stop things from falling into the house. This posed a real problem in the bedroom where bugs and other droppings could really mess up your nice clean bed. Hence, a bed with big posts and a sheet hung over the top afforded some protection. That's how canopy beds came into existence. The floor was dirty. Only the wealthy had something other than dirt. Hence the saying, dirt poor. I mean, these are some things that I just didn't know. I just was reading. The wealthy had slated floors that would get slippery in the winter, then wet. So they spread thresh, straw, on the floor to keep their footing. As the winter wore on, they kept adding more thresh until when you opened the door, it would all start slipping outside. A piece of wood was placed in the entrance, hence the saying, thresh hold. I know I'm killing y'all with this. And yeah, some good information. Bread was divided according to status. Workers got the bunt bottom of the loaf, the family got the middle, and guests got the top or upper crust. Lead cups were used to drink ale or whiskey. The combination would sometimes knock them out for a couple of days. Someone walking around the road would take them for dead and prepare them for funeral. They were laid out on the kitchen table for a couple of days, and the family would gather around and eat and drink and wait to see if they could wake up. Hence the custom of holding a wake.
Wow.
I'm just giving you weird history, but true. I want to thank my guests, Tressa, for calling in as usual. She's like a backup guest whenever we don't have Negroes that call in. And I want to thank my cousin Jay Bug for stopping through, being at the house, and actually participating in this Night Court 10. And thank all the other guests, my sis Carla in the chat room, my cousin Destiny, my nephew Mr. Bugs. And on the text, since she's in New Zealand, my personal assistant, Miss CJ, and she said, "Don't say my whole name, boss." Come on, man. I think I said only the first name, and that was it. I hope I did. I will listen to the playback. And I will get down on my knees from over here in the United States and beg your forgiveness. What we're going to do to end the show, I'm going to play, of course, there's got to be a cut in here that I'm going to play. I'm going to play my girl. This is one of my friends. She lives in Florida, recording artist. This is Nichelle Colvin, and this is called Socialism, Socialize. And again, thank you, Tressa and Jay Bug.
Thanks for having us.
I'm on Facebook, socializing. I'm on Facebook. Let me go and check my status right now. Put some comments on the wall.
Okay. I love you. Okay.
Tweet, tweet.